you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians tonight, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this precious book. Lord, we kind of weigh the weather tonight to come this way. We know this book's going to be open. We know that man tries to teach it, but it's within the era that God leads. And Lord, we know we spend time with you and ask you to help us be able to interpret, to understand it, the revelation that you give to us, be able to proclaim it. And Father, learn some things about our lives and the Christian life. This book is God's will towards men, showing his method, showing his way, and showing his plan and purpose, and giving us as individuals the opportunity to be part of this, and you let us make that choice. You give us your spirit, we're saved. Lord, you give us the word of God and preserve it for our day. You've taught us the spirit would teach us if we spend time in this book. And dear Father, what we learn about you will be from this precious book. And we thank you for this night of study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, last few weeks, we've been talking about problems and troubles times, and was trying to look at some things about the scriptures, the Bible, and what it says versus what we have today that have to do with the mental capacity or mental health. That is, how well are we off mentally when it comes to things of this life? Now, our nation spends a lot, and the world spends a lot of time and money on trying to diagnose things and look at things from an aspect. We study our mind. We study our brain. We study our habits. We study our ways. What causes? We have in medical science just about every way possible. If somebody's got something wrong, somebody's studying it. If there's something's happened to humanity today, somebody's been studying it. And this is a good thing. But the problem is, we're studying it from a secular standpoint. We're studying it from human beings or in a fallen state. And everything we look at through the eyes of the flesh is to merit something in flesh and leave God out. The Bible addresses just about anything you and I face in this life. And if it seemed not to, it does. We just hadn't found it as of yet. God has given us what we needed in this book. So tonight we're going to look at some scripture as we talk about this a little bit further. We said, first of all, why do we have such troublesome times in our day? And one three-letter word is the answer to that. Now, it covers a big territory, but one three-letter word, the umbrella of sin, S-I-N, causes us the problem that we have. It has brought a disorder to this body. It's in a state of death. It's dying. And, of course, we see it more so now than, you know, in the beginning of time, man lived close to be 1,000 years old. But now if you live to be 70, 80, or maybe, you know, at least in the 80s, that's getting to the average. And if a person lives to be 100 or more, it's a maverick. It's really very unusual. And now they're talking about, because of where we're at in this time of knowledge, that we hope to see people live to be 125 years old before long, and even older as time goes on because of the things we're finding out in science and technology. But sin places enormous emotion toll on people today, but we wrote it off. Humanity writes it off. Why? Because those who are in authority most of the time are telling us, you know, such thing as sin is in the eye of the beholder. Well, you and I know it's not, because God tells us what sin is, and we don't have a definition for sin. We know there's things that hurts us, and we might come up with some general ideas about how to govern ourselves, but if it weren't for God, we wouldn't know what sin is, because it'd just be something man's made up, and it'd be like it is now, but worse in certain parts of the country. There are some things that sin to some peoples, not other places. And so in pockets of humanity comes up the ideas of governing themselves, what's wrong, what's right. But God has given something to all humanity, what's wrong and what's right. And we said sin causes emotional problems, and this is caused by spiritual problems. Because we have spiritual problems, we have emotional problems, and emotional problems generally lead to many other problems we have in life in many forms of sickness. And the Bible certainly covers many of these things. We said that it places enormous tolls on people because sin itself separates a person from being absolute purity. In Isaiah 59, we looked at that last week. Sin also saddens us in this life. It scars us in this life. It makes us sour in this life. Sin makes us hard in this life. Things happen to us in life, and we try to see what it is. But none of us think we're that much a sinner. It amazes me as we talk to people across the country and even the world just about, except a few places, you can't find many people who say they're sinners. And you know, if a person never sees himself a sinner, they'll never see the need to be saved. And it's just like someone drowning. If a person don't see themselves drowning, don't try to save them from being drowned. They'll drown you. And if they don't see the need of drowning, they don't see the need of hell. If a person don't see the need that they're a sinner, and God says that humanity is, they don't see no need for any help. And so sin sickens us, and sin also sears us. When sin is left uncorrected, it allows the heart to become hardened. The reason that a man's heart gets wickeder and wickeder is because they get hard as dispositions go through, as times go through, decades go through, and people form their own ideas, leave God out, and it's God who softens our heart. Now, there's things we face in this life softness. We face a calamity, we'll be softened a little bit. We face death, we'll be softened a little bit. But God softens our heart on a basis that continues. Today, we beautify everything, even death, that person dies. We'll soften a little bit, but we want to get over it quick as we can. We call it what? Disclosure. Well, just get it disclosed and get on with our lives. And what happens, the softness doesn't change us much. Makes us think we're going to die, but after all, I'm only so old and I'm going to live so many years according to the average. And death itself quickly bypasses us, not in so much that we don't remember those we love, but not to get us to think. At the moment we say, you know, I'm going to die. The Bible says, appointed man wants to die, but we don't think we're going to die today, and that hardens our heart, because you could die today. God softens our heart, what he does. And the Holy Spirit lives in us to see just that. And I want to show you this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, because we're going to go through some scripture here that tells us exactly what I'm talking about. Sin causes emotional problems, and that is caused by spiritual problems. And spiritual problems, if they're not solved, that's the only thing that will really eliminate emotional problems. Now, you can take medicine and kind of be out of the world. We can do that. And I thank God for medicine if it's used correctly. But medicine is not the answer if it's a spiritual problem. If spiritual problems is causing us things in life, then the doctor can give us any medicine he wants to, and just as quick as we get over it, we're going to have it back again. Only God can deal with spiritual problems. But since man pushes God away and refused to accept the record we have in his word about things in life, then we try to find answers ourselves, and it just keeps leading us worse and worse and worse until we leave this world. So let's look at a few verses together. We're going to look in chapter 4, Ephesians, and look in verse 17 down through a few verses. And this will help us understand how the Bible gives us information, even with mental problems, which brings us all our problems. Because without understanding here, we won't know what's happening. I mean, it's here when you know there's a pain, you know. When you wake up with a pain, it'll be here, you know where the pain. It may be here, but here's where you know where the pain's at. So it starts with the mental aspect of it. And here's what Paul has said in verse 17. Notice he said, this I say, therefore. Now, Paul said, listen, I'm telling you this, and I'm telling you this because he knows that he is an apostle sent of God. And then notice the second thing he says, and testify in the Lord. This I tell you, and I'm testifying, no, not in myself, but in the Lord. This is something that God has shown me by experience and also spiritually by being a child of God. And so he said, this I say unto you and testify in the Lord. Watch this. That ye, speaking to the church at Ephesus, these are born again people. They ought to know better. Why? Because of the word of God is complete. Now, even then that day when the apostles were here, they were given instruction on what God said do. And later it was written. And now we have the documentation. He said, notice that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Then he tells us how they do that. And the vanity of their mind. Ladies and gentlemen, this is as positive as John 3:16. The only thing about John 3:16 tells about the love of God. This is tells us as children of God from the Apostle Paul, who got this testified in the Lord, how we should walk. Now, when I look at the word walk, he said that ye henceforth walk not. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 2. How was it that we walked before we met the Lord? He said in Ephesians chapter 2, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's where we walked at before. But now we come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've been born into the family of God, And he's telling us that we're not to walk like we did before. Now, what's going to help us do that? This whole chapter, we're going to go through verse by verse here, and then we move on to another phase to show you the Bible gives us information even for mental disorder or even for mental health. He says again, walk not as the Gentiles walk. Now, notice who's he talking to here? Church. Who are they? They're Gentiles, but what are they in the Lord? What do they call? First at Antioch. Christians. So these are born again children of God. And he's telling them, you've got something already, but you're going to have to do more than just get that, because that new creation in Christ Jesus will not automatically make you what you need to be. Watch as he goes through. And this is how the Word of God inside enlarges our heart in turn that we have our prayer is different. And when we come to God, our belief is different, because we know God is working hard for us to understand what he says. And then when we obey that, that new creation begins to work in us. Watch what he said. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind. In the emptiness, vain, worthlessness of their mind. That's how they walk. Unsaved people, they make sometimes good neighbors, sometimes they don't. But an unsaved person has but one thing in mind, himself. Whatever it is. You have good deeds and so forth because you realize this world is full of calamity. But in the end results, the unsaved person, number one, is himself first. And then from there, then God comes in and suddenly he's revolutionized things, because with God, it is not yourself, it's others. He teaches all the time, it's others. And it's hard for us to move from where we've been all those years before we got saved to that era of the new creation into something that God wants us to grow in. And that comes from a studied mental aspect. Even though the Holy Spirit's here, it goes through here to filter out. And what I do with that will determine where that new creation changes me so others can see it. God has changed us when you and I got saved. But the change for others to see it's got to be what God shows us and how we obey that for the new creation to come out. And watch how Paul does this here. He said, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind at this time. Watch. He said, having their understanding darkened. That's how the Gentiles were. That's how the unsaved, unconverted are. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Ladies and gentlemen, don't read over that too fast. The unsaved person is alienated from the things of God, the understanding, alienated from the life of God. Why? Through the ignorance that is in them. It isn't that they're ignorant intelligently. It's the fact they're ignorant spiritually. God is a spirit. And therefore, when you and I go to talk to someone about God that's from this Bible, it's a spiritual transaction to them. And if they don't know who God is and don't want to know who God is, we can't break the barrier down. They will continue going in their own direction, most of the time having the feeling that they've got enough sense about themselves that they know what they need or don't need, so they become a God to themselves, even though they wouldn't claim to be that. Anytime a person turns God down, this Bible, turns down Jesus Christ from this Bible, they have become a God to themselves. Why? Because they've been influenced by Satan to deny and disbelieve the record of God's Son. So that simply says this, if I don't believe what God says and accept the record of God's Son, I'm saying that I've got more sense than what you're telling me about God. If not, I would believe the record. Come on now, help me out. Do you not see that? Don't you see that when you talk to people then, and they say, I ain't have nothing to do with that. That's your belief. That's your thing in life. Go. What they're saying, that I have enough of my own intelligence to believe that what I believe is right, and I don't believe in the God you believe in. I don't believe in the Christ you believe in. And when they say that, they're saying to themselves that they know more than what God knows. If they were not saying that, they'd believe the record that God gave of his Son. Because that's how God comes superior to you and I. And so again, now that makes some people say, hey, don't tell me that. I have a right to believe in God like I want to. No, we don't. We don't have a right to believe in God the way we want to. We believe in God the way he wants us to. If not, we don't have a, we believe in him. That's why this Bible is written. So we would know the true and living God and how to get to Him and what to do when we do get to Him. But so much has been taught today other than that. Now watch, he said, having the understanding darkened. What is the understanding? Tell me what the understanding would be about who God is. What is His way? What is His purpose? How do I get to Him? How do I have a relationship with Him? When I have a relationship, what is that relationship? Where I go and find out what He says and what He says for to do. That's understanding that comes from the Spirit of God that Jesus said in John 14 and 16, He gives us His Spirit. The Spirit would come and He teaches us all things while we're here. Not only did He say, do that, but He gives us the textbook that we study it from. And then notice, He said, being alienated from the life of God. That's they transferred ownership. Alienated means they transfer their ownership in the light of God's Word from the life of God. They're saying, I don't want Him, and transfer their life, their understanding from the life of God. It is what God is saying, I'm not going to accept it. So they transfer their understanding from the life of God. That has to do with this. And this will affect them when they face things in this particular life. Watch when he goes further, he said, through the ignorance that is in them. Isn't it interesting? Those who do not and will not receive Christ as Savior to have access to God, God says they're ignorant concerning themselves. They may be the smartest person in the world. They may be a more academic head of us than anyone else. But in spiritual life, they're dead. They're inactive. It's inoperable in their lives. And therefore, they're doomed unless it's changed. Watch, he says, through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. They're not blind with their mind, but there's a blindness on their heart that they do not accept the record God gave His Son. Same type of blindness when you give the gospel to somebody and they refuse to accept it, the same type of blindness to them as Israel had as a nation. They refused to believe the Messiah when He came, and God blinded their eyes as a nation, and yet He gave the grace extended to those in the nation who would by faith receive Christ like a Gentile. And so now Jew and Gentile are in the church, which is the body of Christ, in the age of grace. And we're talking about this sin causes emotional problems, and this is done by spiritual problems, and He's shown us why we have spiritual problems. You know why? People will not just believe God. They just won't do it. It don't make sense to them. They're in a place in life and everything's going a certain way and they attribute that God is or is not, but they don't see that the overall pattern is in these churches that God wrote through in the epistles and gives us insight of what a Christian should be doing. Look with me. He says, who being past feelings have given themselves into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Isn't that interesting? Past feelings. In other words, what happens is, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, he's talking to Christians here. He's talking members of the church here at Ephesus. One of the strong churches of grace you find. He's talking about the child of God here and what is taking place when you first get saved and what takes place after you're saved in your life and this spiritual growth. And he goes on, and he talks about past feelings. What happened is, past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness. In other words, the past feelings where they're at took over more so than the new creation in Christ Jesus took over the flesh. And he's saying to Christians, hey, if you don't grow, if you don't learn so the spiritual man can bring information to you and you receive and know the power of God to help you, you're going past feelings. And you say, well, you know, maybe that's okay. Maybe that won't so bad. It's very easy for Satan to let us look at the past and we govern ourselves at the past as we pick our spots rather than try to go to the future. And Paul is warning the church about this. And this falls in line with the Bible because mentally they're going to the past rather than starting where they're at, say, God, what is you want the new creation to know to help me govern this body? And he goes through this the whole time. Notice he said, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This amazes me that he's talking about children at Ephesus who are part of the church and go back and begin to show past feelings of things that they were involved in before they got saved. Let me ask you something. If you got any spirituality about you, don't you see some people doing that today? It's so easy to do that today. And we do it, and we accept until God causes us something to get our attention. Now watch. Verse 20. We look now, verse 17, 18, 19, verse 20. He says, if this is the way it is, he says, notice, ye have not so learnt Christ. You may have him, but you haven't learnt Christ yet. You've not learnt yet, if these are the criteria of your life, walking in the past feelings, walking in the vanity of the mind, walking in these errors of ignorance, spiritual ignorance, and it comes because maybe that we're not studying the scriptures like we have. He said, ye have not so learned Christ. Watch this, 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You've heard him, you've been taught by him, but now you are debating, is the truth in him? He proclaims this, the truth is in Jesus Christ. So his life is not only just to be taught what did, but a pattern for us that the Holy Spirit can show us. There was a person that lived on this earth that pleased the Father. We may do it partly or in spot, but we hadn't 100% pleased the Father. Jesus Christ did. Everything he did was pleased to the Father. Now watch, he said, if so be ye that have heard him and have been taught by him, that ye put off. Now, if you have heard him and been taught by him, watch, he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. If you really hear what he's saying and taught by him, then there's a process of putting off the old man. That didn't come the day you got saved automatically. It's like God is saying, son, I know what happened in your heart, but others don't. You got to have more words. You got to have an action. Put off the old man. I understand more now why he tells me to do that. Put off the old man. What? That you put off concerning the former conversation, that's the way of life, the old man. Why? Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know, good as I do, this flesh is apt to do anything now. I've been saved 52 years. This flesh is apt to do anything now as it did 52 years ago. By the way, same with you. You let it down and see what it'll do. You don't be on guard and see what it'll do. It'll start slowly. Then suddenly you find yourself in a place that you never wish you could be. Flesh will not lead you except wrong. You've got to bring it in control and lead it and make it. By the way, the flesh can do no more than what you let it do. Here's where the control mechanism is. Now, if the old man's on what I know, the flesh is going to certainly enjoy some things, and I'll say it's all right. But the new creation is doing what he should. He's going to check me in my life. It may not do it just like that, but God said, what you sow, you're going to reap. Go down the line. Watch, he says again, that you put off it which is corrupt according. And be renewed. Here's the thing. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, listen, you can't be renewed in your spirit of the mind unless you're born again. Romans 12, remember what it said? I beseech you, therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He says a reasonable service. You remember that? Look over there with me in Romans chapter 12. Talking about how do I renew my mind? Can I just go and take algebra and do it? No. You can go take algebra, but you don't renew your mind about what God's talking about. He says, in verse 2, and be not conformed, in Romans 12, to this world, but be ye transformed. Those two words are important there. To understand the transformation is to change the nature to function of. And that's what happens when you renew your mind. And notice he said that ye be ye transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is saying for the child of God who is willing to renew their mind, they'll be able to approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's where you're going to find the development of the Christian life as we grow in grace and knowledge. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see how the scripture is a commentary to the scriptures? How do you compare scripture with scripture? And what you're doing, you're dealing here now, which in turn is going to filter what goes to the heart. And that's the seat of your soul. And from there, the power will be available to bring it back so you can control the flesh. We'll never be able to control the flesh 100%. It's too powerful. Because every time we control it, it's got to be something God's given us, and we act upon that. And we're acting on that all the time. So here, notice he said, and that you be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, here's two things. You put off the old man. That's something we have to do. How's it done? Renewing our mind and using the power available to obey God. and then put on the new man. How's that done? By letting the new creation, and he'll go through this, the new creation in Christ Jesus, dictate to us what we know we should do, then ask God to give me the power and help me do what I know I should do, because the flesh is not going to do it. And this whole thing is developed on this line, that you may put on the new man, at which after God is created, what? This new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Well, wait a minute. When you get the new man in action, moving, this is what begins to happen. It's something that we must do. I can't say that I'm saved and let just the grace of God take me to heaven, and I have no responsibility of a life, because God is telling us all through these scriptures, I see your heart, but the world don't. And if they don't see something that you do that scripturally that I've said, that you can show to them that God said this, they will never see that you're a Christian, because words from the mouth is not enough. Satan tell you he believed in God, and by the way, he did, but he trembled, but he won't say. And James tells us that. So he said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth and his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It shows us how we'll have the ups and downs as far as life is concerned. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. How about that? Let him labor. That's something the world don't care much about, does it? Let him labor. Why? Working with his hands the things which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that's needed. You know, it's an amazing thing here. The Lord could have said that you may have the things in life to enjoy the pleasures of life. No, he said, no. You've got to get talent, use it. Work with your hands, he said, that you may help those who have a need. That's a peculiar way to tell us to work for, isn't it? Our needs come first? Yes. But God says this, the blessing for us to have a trade, to work in some field or another, is a gift that God's helped us develop. And they said, Jesus told us, you have the poor with you always. Notice he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then watch verse 30 through 32, and we'll move on. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby, watch this, folks, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. What a powerful verse. You know what seal is? Man, it makes it good until you break the seal. And you heard me say that. I always think about this. My mother used to can a lot, and yours did too if you're old. Nowadays, you just go to the department store and get it already frozen, all right? Or go to the grocery store. But those canning, some of you do that now. And you cook it and put that lid on there and that right cap on top of that thing. And after a period of time, you hear that, it's a sound. You know it's all right then, don't you? You know what? Just leave it there as long as you want to, and it'll stay until you break that seal. Isn't it amazing? The Bible teaches, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed. Now, that means, hey, you can't grieve him unless you have him. And you get him through the new birth, and therefore he said, grieve him not. Now, amazing, folks, can you imagine us as little weak knees we are? I don't care how strong we think we are, and how intelligent. We're nothing compared to who God is, and yet God allows us, when we disobey, to grieve the heart of the Spirit of God. Grieve the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't grieve him. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Why? Well, one thing is, he sealed you to the day of redemption. He's going to be there through everything. Man, that ought to be something to realize. I get to heaven one day. It won't be because I made it by myself. It's because when I trusted Christ, God gave me his Holy Spirit, gave you his Holy Spirit, and he sealed you unto the day of redemption. That's the final analysis of everything. That's when things are completely come to pass. Then watch what he said. Then, because of this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here, look at our standard. As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. He said, hey, you didn't deserve forgiving. We didn't deserve this, but God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. So should we be willing to do the same? So sin causes emotional problems. Because they are spirit, we have spiritual problems. Now, the third thing we move into from this, talking about this Bible versus the mental problems, it brings about many of the problems we have in society because a lot of them are spiritual problems. The third thing is spiritual problems only have spiritual solutions. You know that? There's nothing physically that can fix my spiritual problem. The only thing can do that is to believe God and what He says and trust Him what He says and do what He says. And it starts with His Son. Somebody says, well, that's what I do. I do. I try to find out what God wants done. But have you ever tried? That don't have nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, it does. Because you'll never and I'll never do anything that God wants done unless we trust His Son first. It's necessary. Because if I don't trust Him first, how in the world can I ever begin to think I'm going to trust Him for anything else? Because that's where God tells us to start at. And if I'm going to trust Him, I've got to start where He says start at. God would understand if I trust His Son and get a relationship with Him, then my whole trust in Him means more than say, well, I trust you, God, but I don't know about Christ as of yet. To deny Him is to deny everything as far as God is concerned. And so the third thing is spiritual problems have a spiritual solution. Modern psychiatrists today is often able to deal with man's problems. Modern psychiatrists are often atheistic. And then it's humanistic. And when it's humanistic or atheistic, they're going to say they don't believe in God. They're going to say God has nothing to do with as far as life is concerned. They view man as an animal rather than in the image of God. And the problem that we're seeing nowadays has been taught from public schools right on to this day more than ever, that man is no more than just an animal, but he's a high-ranking animal. We're not animals. There's not another animal ever been created in God's image. God created man in God's image. And by the way, He did not make animals like He did man. He called forth animals into this world. But brother and sister, He took His time to make man. He took some dirt and formed him from the dust of the ground. He took and made it in such a way it became like flesh. And He blew into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's the reason we're in the image of God. So I have to get that in perspective to understand what God is doing for you and I as far as this life is concerned. So He views man as an animal rather than in the image of God. So modern psychiatrists often strive to be morally neutral or refuse to make judgments concerning values. If he's looking at himself, and since man all over the world varies, then values don't become absolutes to them. Judgment don't become absolute. It becomes where you're at and how you govern yourself in a pocket of the world. And then if you leave and go somewhere else, you have to go under what they do. But God is the one who tells us all what we need to do and what His plan and purpose is. There's only one solution to those emotional problems that are spiritual problems. And they say, well, we need therapeutic things. Well, this is therapeutic. This is the best therapeutic you can get from God. When He talks, He knows us, folks. He knows us. And more, you're going to find out more and more as time goes on. We're not going to hear teachings that gets down to the place of really that God has shown Himself to us. It's going to be watered down so much that God's going to be anything the man wants Him to be. He's already about that now. The solution is God's Word. Now turn with me again to, if you will, to 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter a few minutes. Let's look at some more verses. The solution is God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's see what happens. Now let's take a little bit further. We're talking about who we are in this world who've been born again. We're talking about how God is using our mind, our spirit, to bring forth His plan and purpose so we'd understand how we fit into it in this life. We fit into His plan. He doesn't fit into ours. Say, God, come on down here and fit in my plan. Oh, sorry. If he's not going to fit in my plan because my plan is going to waver. His plan is never going to waver. His plan is going to be exactly what it needs to be. It's always truth. It's always absolute. It's never going to have to change because He knows the end from the beginning. But now we're talking about the solution to those emotional problems that are spiritually caused. And we hear a lot of, like I said, about therapeutic. Boy, you need to go and take a therapeutic class, or you need to go, you know, and get with a group and be therapeutic. Well, I'm not completely against that. But I'll tell you this, you cannot be thoroughly therapeutic in anything without God. God's got to be in it, folks. Notice what Peter says here, and this, we won't be all day getting some of it, but watch. And what I'm showing you, I've been telling you, we started on this track, this direction of the scripture versus mental health. Where it's all the things probably come filters through somehow or another, whether it be physical, whatever has come through that for us to understand. We do what we do because we've been taught. We go to the doctor, say, you got this, you need this pill. I mean, we take the authority. We say, what does it do? He tells them, we really don't know. We hear it. The words he used, we can't understand. And they're too big, and I look them up. So he's the doctor. And what you do, we go get the pill and take it. We don't have any side effects. We hope it makes us get better. We have side effects, we have to go back. I've talked to many in the last week. They've taken pills, doctor given, they've got side effects now. They've got to go back, stop, and find some other way. That's how we are as human beings. But what God is telling us is absolute. And watch how Peter starts with it. Look at 2 Peter, and we'll start about verse 2. Notice he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Now, wait a minute. Grace and peace. Isn't that what we want most of all? We want peace in the world. We want peace in this body. When the stomach's upset, you want peace. When you have pain, you want peace because you can't sleep without it. We want that. And he says here, grace and peace multiplied in you, watch, through the knowledge of God. It multiplied. How does it multiply? It's got to be that where this book that God has given us is been hid in our heart for us to understand what God wants. He said, even to hide the word of God in our heart helps us not sin against him. But watch this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to show you, God is showing us all through the scriptures, not only through the righteousness of God and our Savior. No, go back to verse 2 again. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. What's the conjunction? And who? Of Jesus our Lord. They're equal. They're equal. Everything God comes to us is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not see why you can't eliminate him? I'm fully convinced, ladies and gentlemen, if I go to God for anything, eliminate Jesus Christ, I'm just praying in vain. I'm praying in vain. I'm asking in vain. Because I'll be honest with you, this world can pray all it wants to in God's name and not leave Jesus' name out. But when you pray in Jesus' name, God hears the prayer. But he teaches that's how we're to pray. But the world don't see that. So watch, he says. He said, grace and peace be multiplied. It increases to you through the knowledge. Knowledge is to know. Through the knowledge, to know of God and of Jesus Christ. So I say, y'all boasting. No, isn't it amazing? Let me ask you something. When you go to listen to a science teacher teach a class in school, or you go listen to an algebra teacher, or math teacher teach a night, a class in school, we don't leave saying, that fella thinks he knows everything, or that teacher thinks she knows everything, just because they know a little bit about science. No. You recognize the fact that if you believe what they're saying, that they have studied that. But isn't it amazing they'll laugh at us and they say, to you and I who come and study this book is much more so than they study the science book, and they make accusations about us, and we think we just know it all, and we're just some type of super Christian. It amazes me how they attack God and his people through the language they use. And on the other hand, anybody be expert in any field, and they're not attacked at all because they become an expert in that particular field. But he goes on, he says, now watch. He says, it's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Watch verse 3. This is a blessing to me. He said, according to as his divine power had given unto us all things. And if I stop there, I could go astray. Notice he said, this grace and peace that comes through the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, according as his divine power had given unto us, and this us is referring to those who are saved, he says, all things, watch, that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. In other words, this divine power that he talks about that we have, which is the very life of God, has moved in. It's got a lot of work. We brought a lot of baggage along. I mean, we know a lot of things that the flesh enjoys so much, we just think it should be all right as long as it don't hurt anybody. And he starts from scratch with this new creation, and he says, as divine power hath given him all things that pertaineth unto life. That life is eternal life. And godliness. How again? Through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. In this life eternal is given to us these exceedingly great and precious promises. That by these great and precious promises that God, how would you know what they are unless you study them? How would you know what they are unless you got in the book and say, God, please show me these things. He's given these to us, watch. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, I've given you my divine nature in the new creation, which will help you escape the corruption of the lust in this world. But it won't happen automatically. It's not going to happen automatically. You got it. It's available. But you're going to have to learn, just like you learn how to add 2 + 2. You're going to have to do just like you load H2O's water. You're going to have knowledge, but it's going to come from a spiritual standpoint. You're in my image. You have the ability to learn. You have the ability to make the decision. You're not like an animal. You don't work by instinct. You work by knowledge. Use the God-given ability I've got to you, and you know what I'll do? I'll enhance it in your life. I'll bring you to the surface that others can see. Some are condemned, some are cushy, but there'll be some that say, praise be to the Lord. Thank God for someone who seemed to walk with God and teach me the Bible so I can read it and understand it. And hopefully that's what's happening in these services, that we can actually listen and go back home and study words and understand that God is speaking to us through those words. And watch, he said again, I'm closing. He said, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory, given us precious promise, and he said, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he says in verse 5, and beside this, given us all diligence. Now he gives us 8 things to add to this. How this does, it starts out by faith. And then from there you add virtue and you add, watch these 8 things. He gives us a sequence here. He said, add to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. That's how you know to act. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is the last one, is love. Then when he finished those, it amazes me, 8 is what? New beginning. He goes through and then he goes to 8, and love is the last one. And then he says this, for if these things be in you, what things? These things he just said, these 8 things he just said. If these things be in you, watch, he said, and abound. That they increase. They're just not, hey, when we get saved, Christ has all these things in him, and the Holy Spirit does. So they're here, but if they're operated in us like God wants to, we will abound. We will increase towards the direction God wants us to be. He said, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Well, first of all, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, these things will make you. What's that verse 8? These things are in you, and they're bound, they increase. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I'll just reveal these things to you. I'll give to you understanding. Yeah, the world may hate you because, just keep in mind, if they do, they hated me before they hated you. But if you, in a kindness way, go back and see what he says in Ephesians about the Holy Spirit, what he does in us, and help us grow along to be gracious and kind and those things, then when we give the truth out, that manifests these 8 things he's talking about here, which really shows who the true Christian is, then it'll be in a way that will not be, very, I'm trying to think of a word, harsh or something. I had a word in my mind, it slipped my mind. Help me out. Somebody that's really harsh.
Severe.
What?
What?
Severe, harsh, hard to get along with, this type of thing. Or really make someone think that they are nothing and you're everything. He's saying the Holy Spirit will help us keep a soft heart. That's what happened. Thank you, brother. Let's have a soft heart for that. Now, here's this statement I'll make this. What I'm showing you right now is something I've never done before, and I've asked God to help me because I believe this Bible has an answer for everything. The Bible is the best psychological textbook in this world. I believe that. I believe it's a matter of where you, how you study it. The Bible is not only diagnoses human weakness, it also provides the cure for it. And he tells us what to do. Now, can we do all of this? Probably not, because this is a perfect idea way. This is absolute perfection. But it's a goal to work towards. I need to go back and find out what each one of these mean. Faith, I understand that. You know, Hebrews 11, virtue, knowledge. We understand that. Temperance, patience, godliness. It look up each one of those words and find out and see what category that means. That enhances more what's to be said at this particular time. I thought I'd finish this night, but not quite. We'll finish next week. Father, thank you again. Lord, this is taking the Word of God and doing our best to look at ourselves through the microscope of your Word and asking you to help us see ourselves, then see you, and then see what you say, and then realize it's impossible to do in the flesh. Lord, oh, how much we need your help. Thank you for being there. Thank you for giving us when we fail. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes in our ignorance, spiritual ignorance, we just don't know. And we make bad decisions. But we thank you for giving us. And we won't always be open to you. Dear Father, please help me understand this book more. I don't have many days left on this earth as I had 52 years ago. But Lord, I pray, help me understand it. I certainly spend the time in it. I read and search all the time. And dear Father, please keep my mind fresh and new, that in turn that I won't get off on some type of tangible thing that feels good to the flesh, and because it just seems like it ought to be okay, do or say something that should not be said. Lord, please guide every word, and then give your people the incentive to take and go home and study these things and see what the Holy Spirit will do to enlarge their heart as we try to serve you. Please give us souls for our labor. In Jesus' name we pray.